We went back to our clients and said, unfortunately, we've got to add VAT to our portfolio fees and to our monthly retainers. We will absorb the VAT and the monthly retainers, so you don't have to pay anywhere. We will have to increase 0.75 to 0.9 to cover the VAT. No problem. They are fully aware. Okay. For the service we provide. So, as a commissioner for me, would be a disappointment, not a threat to my business.
That's very good. Yeah. I've still.
Okay, number 4 minutes each, keep them tight on time.
Increasing the value of by 7%. And inflation is 3%. Could you sort of say as well, this is my value, okay. An extra 6%?
If you take that to the next stage and you have a year where they lose 20%, so you're going to put money back into their pocket. And I don't think you can do that. So we thought about performance. Fees. It just gets too complicated, too messy, and not something that we should consider.
And the reason I like AMC based fees is because you're taking advantage of markets going up in the long term.
Yeah. So we've split our fee structure into three. So the first is the advice fee, which for one of our funds, okay. For our retained funds, it's covered within the retains. Which is to specifically manage.
Okay, I have 4 minutes.
Then we have transaction fee, which is new money that we introduced to us. There is
1.5%. And you chuck 1.5%, even if it was half a million of them.
If it was a large one, we would discount that down, probably to no less than 1%. My reason is this covers the cost of us actually organising that transaction and our regulatory risk. So I can see that is covering our regulatory costs for running our business. So portfolio fee is to 1%, and advice fee maybe single action advice. Or his retainers, it's the other between 25
and 110 of 1% of his portfolio.
Yes.
Okay, and stop. Stop for just a second. Just stop. Right, you have 4 more minutes. Chairman, your responsibility is to make sure nobody dominates the airspace. That's your remit. Everybody gets 4 minutes. And they learn to talk within those 4 minutes. We'll talk about communication in just a moment as a leader of a business, and part of your responsibility as a business leader is to learn how to communicate succinctly. Because we've spent 25 years talking to clients doesn't actually mean we're brilliant communicators. Just means we've spent 25 years talking to clients, they happen to fall in love with us and do business with us. But a great business leader, even of a tiny business, is a superb communicator and can do so succinctly. So as a leader of a table, your responsibility is to teach these people, you've got 4 minutes. You say what you have to say in 4 minutes and then we move on. That's just teaches discipline. How can I communicate my ideas in 4 minutes flat? That's it. 4 more minutes, away we go. Sorry, Nicholas, because you have only 3 people, you may have run out of time, but if you haven't run out of time, you have extra time, okay. Like 4 minutes.
Right.
Your responsibility is to, Steve's responsibility is to guide the three of you in answering one simple question. If all commissions were removed in the industry, in the profession, all commissions, including trail, what would happen to your business? Simple question, simple answer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In terms of when you look at it, you say, is that trail, you can't take anything from...
All commission from the industry is totally removed. There is nothing that can emanate from the product. The product provider is allowed to give you nothing, you not a penny, nothing. Okay. Nothing can ever come from a product.
Yeah.
Okay? Where would your business be? Simple question, deserves a really honest answer. And it's a tough question. And it's a tough answer too. But I think that's worth just, if you don't run out of time. Yeah?
Not qualified.
Yes.
You don't need to think.
So that's been working through. Right. And I've been working on the flow chart. I've been trying to identify what I do to speak those lines and what I do to continue to end or reduce.
Are you on your own?
Yes,
I have. Any support staff?
I have. Two need to be changed. One of them is my wife.
Let us talk and stuff. She started to see what's going on.
Yes.
We've got young children around their teens. And so she can hopefully understand that she wants to be part of the marriage. It's not part of the marriage, it's part of the family. That she's got to be able to take control of those things that she's delegated to do.
Mm-hmm.
So far from your wife?
Hand stop. Good. I'm not going to ask you to feedback at this stage. I want you to keep it within your teams. So you now know an awful lot about the thoughts and feelings, I hope, of some of your team members and why they feel the way they do about their business. And I want you to work through that, take that information during the course of the day and see what happens with it. Okay. And please treat your team members with respect. They've shared with you some personal feelings. You need to treat that as if you're walking on sacred ground. They've opened up themselves to you and can't afford to abuse that. Good. Let's turn to the next page. Okay, you should have prepared for this one. Who did not receive a preparatory workbook? So everybody has done this exercise, one would hope. So now I do need some feedback. Tell me your thoughts about Dell and Apple. Let's start with Stephen's table. One comment from Stephen's, then one comment from yours, Paul, then Simon yours and Craig's yours. So tell me about this Dell-Apple comparison. What's going on here?
Well, when I looked at it personally, I thought it's quite polarizing between the two. I thought Dell was, to me, it just means cheap and sort of low-cost computer.
Okay.
Yeah, Mac market. And then I'm sort of big advocate of Apple. I use those computers lockdown, and it just speaks to me volumes on the other side of sort of top of the range, ahead of its time, and the space.
Okay, we're going to slow down on this Apple business. So let's just give your feelings about Dell again. Where are Dell in terms of leadership in this industry that they're in? What do you feel about them? Okay, low cost, mass market. Anything else? Who can name me a Dell product?
A Dell product.
Inspiron. Okay. Anything else? Any other brand name for a Dell product?
Latitude. Fostral.
Okay, yeah, okay. So, tell me about Apple again.
Top of the range, ahead of the times.
Ahead of the times. What do you mean by that, Steve?
It's highly innovative. When you think about something like the iPad, no one wanted it, no one thought they needed one. And suddenly, all of us want one, and all of us find one, and everyone's trying to copy one.
It's interesting. How long have tablets been around? Do you know this tablet thing that you're right?
Yeah, 10 years, 12 years.
Yeah, it's been around about 15 apparently. I didn't realise that until I started doing some research. It's been around about 15 years. It's hardly sold a thing. And they come along and do something, and suddenly people are literally lining up outside the stores. Okay, thank you, Steve.
Well, what they did, they use the old tablets, you have to use a pen.
Yep.
Whereas what they've done is they've
Yeah.
So yeah. Looked at it from a user's point of view.
Okay.
What would a user want? And it's like surfing while you're watching TV and looking at pictures. And
okay.
It'd be something brilliant for that.
Thanks. Let's just move to this table. You choose somebody.
Yeah. Like Apple would give to a lifestyle image.
A lifestyle image. What do you mean by that?
Well, having an iPhone or an iPad just seems to portray. Sort of get up and go with it now, lifestyle.
Okay, so you feel, in your the way you see them, I see them as being a lifestyle type of innovative company. Okay, anything else? Anything else on this table?
Yeah, design is the big difference between the two in my mind.
Design. Yeah. Can you tell me about that?
Well, as it's already been alluded to, the innovation behind Apple is extraordinarily good, whereas Dell really are just a putter together of components in a flat black box.
A putter together of components. Okay, that's pretty technically heavy stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, put together of components. Yeah, it's bound to be on Wikipedia somewhere. Just type in. I'll just go to Google here. Put together of components. Dell. Okay, a putter together. Whereas you feel on the Apple side?
Apple is better designed.
Design.
More robust.
Okay, thanks. On from here?
Do you want to do something, Tony?
Yeah, sure. Dell's, their marketing is mass marketing. They'll do a deal with you. They'll discount to get the sale.
Right.
Apple, very focused marketing, no discounts. High quality, high premium price.
Right.
And also, Apple are looking for ongoing income streams now.
Okay.
Dell arms. They'll flog you another machine when yours wears out, breaks down, is out of date.
Okay.
But Apple have changed. They're now looking for ongoing income streams.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Tony. Your table.
They're both technology companies.
Yes.
But Apple are predominantly a marketing company first and then technology second.
Right.
You said about the tablets. They've been around a long time. They had a new idea, but if they just launched that without all the marketing fanfare with it, it wouldn't have made the look on the impact on the lifestyle image that we all have. It's kind of like an old generation, new generation technology company.
Okay. Any other thoughts on this table?
I didn't do this exercise because I haven't got a clue about iPhones, but I'm not knowing a thing about technology. But the one thing I wrote down was Apple have created a cult.
They've created a cult.
That's large.
They've created a cult.
Going back to the early days, before Apple were big, Dell actually used quite a good business strategy of only building computers to order, which cut down the costs and it made it look. They actually made it a USP for their business. We only make to order. Then Apple came along to hit the trendy, fashionable side of the market, which is where there's a lot of money and the cult, the design, everything else. So Dell had to change tack and stack it high and sell it cheap to try and keep going.
This is interesting. The one that excites me most, I don't mean that is the most right, that's not what we're discussing here at all. The one that gets me out of bed and makes me climb mountains is the cult. Let me tell you why. Personal view. I think Apple and Dell are asking different questions when they start doing whatever they do each year. They just, in my view, ask a whole different question. In my view, Dell represents those business folk, that's you, you're all in business, within which you do brilliant financial planning, who ask this question: what should we do now? What should we deliver? What should we design? I think Apple are asking a completely different question. What do you think I think Apple are asking? They're not asking what. They're asking a different question altogether. And that's what I want to spend some time on today. They're asking a deeper question. That leaders of industries ask. I don't mean Dell isn't a leading computer company, because it is. I understand it turns over more than Apple. And Apple's percentage of the industry is not that big. But without question, Apple lead wherever they go. They make boo-boos on the way. They've got things that have never sold. But tell me three markets to which Apple lead currently.
iPhone.
Okay, phones.
iPod.
What's that all about?
Music.
Yeah. And?
Apple.
Yeah, computers. They lead. This one company are innovative world leaders, global leaders in three separate markets. They lead the phone market. They lead the music market, in that it's completely erupted the music industry. We've had to then start to copy them. And they lead innovatively in the computer market. It is just the de facto standard of design and usability, which Microsoft have been scared of for years. And they develop a cult. When you use an Apple, you ain't going back to PC laptops or Microsoft. You're just never doing it, because it's just a different experience. And when they launch something, when Dell launches a new Inspiron, nobody lines up. But when Apple launches anything, people are lining up outside the store. It's a cult that's asked a different question. Why might people want to do this? Why might people get excited about this concept? Why do people do things the way they do? Why do people listen to music the way they listen to music? How could we possibly change it? Why does the world work like this? Why doesn't it work like that? And thus iPods and iPhones and the Mac. Why do people have to think about code? Why can't people just touch screens and do things? Why? Well, let's answer why. Let's design something that may take 10 years, but we're going to answer the question why. Great little businesses ask the question why. Why does anybody do this? Why don't IFAs ask deeper questions and learn from coaches? Well, I think we call that life planning. But why don't they do that? Why are they scared to go deep quickly? How could we help them change that mindset? Just why? Why do IFAs play around with investment when 95% of them haven't a clue what they're doing? Why? Just why? Not saying that there's a right answer all the time, but they ask the daring question, why? Okay, turn to page 8. So picking up on Simon's question, why bother to learn to be an entrepreneur? Why bother? I'm going to just spend 60 seconds staring at that, and then I want you to explain that graphic to me. Talk about it as a team. maybe spend 4 minutes as a team discussing that. What does that mean to your team? What is going on that page? What is he saying that brilliant entrepreneurs are brilliant at, as opposed to brilliant IFAs?
Although I also think that if it's a company, or if it's even someone else of that, creating balance, it can be technical skills allow us to have all of those issues.
We can come up with ideas. Then to create stories around it. Because it's more like you dream a little and you're starting to become an entrepreneur. You think about the dreams a bit more. And you're a bit more for now.
No, you don't. Because there are a lot of people that are dreamers and think about it, but they never become an entrepreneur. They never actually go and do it.
I'm talking about mindset, not people.
Yeah.
I'm talking about if we want to try and become an entrepreneur, because a lot of us, like, I've been trained to sell from psychotherapists, and this is how you do it, but I've never really thought, this is why I'm doing it, and that's what it starts to do. I'm not very good at dreaming. I'm good at others. So it's dreaming up why. It's just an idea.
Yeah, I mean, the dreamer, you're pushing the status quo. You're not constrained by the real world.
No.
These are all different things. What is this? You say, in a sense, they could have made this. This is saying that each of us, it's more likely to actually sit in one or two of these categories than we can actually look at each other.
So, like when I first started in this industry, my manager was some guy who didn't say, like, this is how you sell, or this is what you sell,
yes,
and this is how you sell what you sell. So it wasn't a question of giving you a chance to actually dream about becoming, dreaming it up. Because I'm doing it.